Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 13. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. And please note, all were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither remember ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. May the Lord add his blessing, his anointing, his liberty and grace, even to the reading of his word. Amen. Okay, so we are continuing our series on the wilderness. The subject is thriving in the wilderness, and the Bible makes us to know that Paul said, really, I do not want you to be ignorant of certain things that happened to our fathers, those who went ahead of us. You must beware of the things that happened to those ahead of us, so that you prepare yourself so you don't fall victim onto the same thing. Okay, so it is important for us not to ignore certain facts of the Christian life, certain facts of life. So Paul says that don't be ignorant, or don't ignore. Sometimes we are so busy doing something that we do not want to be interrupted. Normally, people like to go ahead with business as usual, and they don't like interruption. Interruption can be very irritating. You see, when you are focused and you are doing something, you do not want anybody to stop you or be interrupted. But as you listen to the word of God, I believe that God is going to bring certain interruptions in our lives. Interruptions are very important also, because they make us to rethink the course on which we are. They make us to re-examine the life that we are leading. And many times in the church of the Lord, there is interruption. When you hear the word of God, the word of God comes to interrupt the propensity or the proclivity that you have to do certain things. The word of God comes to, as it were, caution you, to tell you that you have to beware of certain things. So that is exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing. Don't feel irritated when you have to readjust maybe the way that you are living, readjust maybe the way that you are thinking, or maybe, as it were, throw aside your philosophy of life for the things that God is trying to teach us and show unto us, because he has something good for us in the end. Amen. We have said that the wilderness of trials, temptations, difficulties, serpents, afflictions, and scorpions are a necessary route to the promised land or to the kingdom system. Acts chapter 14 verse 22 said that we must through much tribulation, through much affliction, temptations and trials enter the kingdom of God. In entering the kingdom of God or making an entry into your promised land, you must prepare that you will pass through the wilderness. It is a necessary route that we must go through. But we must bear in mind that whatever difficulty we go through, God goes through with us. That is why the Bible said in our text, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that God is faithful. His faithfulness means that he sticks to us. He will not go with you when things are fine, and when affliction comes or you enter the wilderness, God leaves you. The Bible says that, but God is faithful. God will stick with you through your difficulties. Isaiah chapter 63 verse 9, it puts it quite clearly. He says that in all the affliction, he was afflicted and the angel of his presence saved them. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. So whatever thing that you are going through, you need to understand that God goes through the same fire with you. When you enter, he is going to enter the fire with you. Hallelujah. All right, so I want to talk about our attitude now. Our attitude is to be of good cheer. John 16:33. In the world you will have troubles. In the world you will have trials and temptations and difficulties. But he says that be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So our attitude towards difficulties of this life is for us to be of good cheer. Although it may be difficult, yet we must make an effort to count it all joy, knowing that God, who is with us, is up to something in our lives. And at the end of it all, we will see his glory. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about some five temptations that Israel went through in the wilderness. Some five difficulties, problems they went through in the wilderness, which we must prepare for or prepare against, if you like. So the things that Paul brings to the attention are five in all. What does he talk about? He talks about lusting after evil things, verse 6, verse 7, idolaters, verse 8, committing fornication, verse 9, tempting Christ, verse 10, murmuring. All right, now verse 11 says that all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our instruction. Okay, so it is good for us to instruct ourselves on these five temptations. It says, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And it is in the context of that he talked about being tempted in verse 13. Okay, so the first thing I want us to notice as I quickly round up this introduction is that the five wilderness temptations are not far-fetched from Christians. They are not far-fetched. Sometimes when you look at idolatry, committing fornication, tempting Christ, murmuring, lusting after evil things, you think that, oh, these are wild sins. How can I fornicate, Pastor? How can we even talk about that in the church? But I want you to understand that the book of Corinth was written to Christians. And Paul says that we must understand that these things are not far-fetched from us. If you think that it's far-fetched from you, the Bible says that take heed lest you fall. Hallelujah. Now, the book of Corinth was written to Christians who were very gifted people. All right, that should make us to know that these five wilderness temptations we are going to talk about shortly were experienced by people who flowed in the supernatural. They flowed in the supernatural.
So don't think that, well, because as for me, signs and wonders, I work signs and wonders. As for these things, these five problems that you're going to talk about, it does not concern me. Israel saw the pillar of fire in the night and the pillar of cloud. The presence of God was always with them. I mean, God was with them. They saw signs, they saw miracles, they saw water coming out of rock, they saw bitter water instantly turn signs and wonders. They saw sudden provision of quails, I mean meat, protein. I mean, they saw all of these miracles. But the Bible says that these things happened unto them, and they are written for our instruction, especially those of us who are living in this end time. So it is not far-fetched, not just from Christians, but from people who move in the supernatural. The church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 to 7, were a people who moved in the spiritual gifts. They moved in the supernatural. Paul said that they were very knowledgeable. In other words, they knew the things of God. The new things. Says that you don't come behind in knowledge. You don't come behind in the charismata or in the spiritual gifts. Alright? You don't come behind in these powerful things. But the Bible says that these things happened unto them. So we must also be aware and be careful. Now, the other thing I want to quickly say is that Paul spoke about these five temptations after cautioning people who are spiritually gifted about becoming cast away like himself. Paul was a spiritually gifted person. He was an apostle. He did so much, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. God revealed things to him. He was full of signs and wonders. But he said himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, that I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, as a man of God or as a pastor, I myself become disqualified or cast away. It was in the breath of this that he spoke to the church of Corinth in verse chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, you know, so he's talking about being careful, even as men of God, that we are not, after preaching to people, after teaching people, we ourselves become cast away or disqualified. And that is a fearful thing. So he goes on to elaborate, and he says in chapter 10, verse 1, our text, that moreover, brethren, I don't want you to ignore this fact that it is possible for all of us to be baptized into Moses. That is a type of Jesus Christ. Moses is a type of Jesus. All of us to be baptized into Jesus in the cloud is a type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And baptized in the sea is a type of water baptism, or what we call Christian baptism. You can eat the same spiritual meat and drink the same spiritual drink. The manna that they ate, the Bible says it was a spiritual food. And the waters that were provided for them, they were spiritual drink, for they drank of the rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. So Paul says that these things are not far-fetched. They are not far away from us as Christians, as people who are gifted spiritually, and even as men of God. Our attitude, if we think that we sound so strong, is to take heed unto them. Verse 12 says that, wherefore, let him that thinketh that he standeth. There is no sin in thinking that you stand. It is not a bad thing to think that you stand. But he says that if you think that you stand, in addition to that determination and confidence that as for you, you will not do this, the Bible says that take heed. In addition, he says that be careful. In addition, he says that pay attention to these things. God is not breaking our confidence, but God is just saying that don't rely on your confidence. Don't rely on your determination, especially in this end time, because it may fail you. Do you remember Peter? Peter said, oh, if everybody would deny you, as for me, I will not deny you. Peter was so confident. He was full of determination. He couldn't even think it. that after confessing thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, he himself will come and deny the Christ, the Son of the living God. He never taught, because he felt flesh and blood gave me that revelation. But Jesus cautioned him, like Paul is cautioning the church of Corinth, or all of us who are listening to this word. He is cautioning us that in addition to our determination and whatever revelation that we have, we must take heed. In other words, watch, pay attention. Jesus told Peter, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. And that is the same thing that he is trying to tell us today. That we should, in addition to thinking that we stand, if we so think that we stand, we must take heed or watch and pray lest we enter into temptation.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
It is important for us to understand that our determination alone is not enough. We must overcome temptation the way Jesus overcame it. How did he overcome it? The Bible tells us that he was in prayer. He was not just fasting in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And these temptations will come to us. Hallelujah. But what is important is that in addition to everything, we pray. That is why he taught us that we should pray that we are not led into temptation. In other words, we don't fall into temptation. Hallelujah. So let's start to talk about these things. Five temptations of the wilderness that everybody who is a son of God is going to be tempted with. I believe that Jesus Christ in the wilderness, when he was led to the place, was tempted in like manner. And as we go on, you would understand that Jesus faced every one of these temptations. Lusting after evil things, idolatry, committing fornication, tempting Christ, murmuring. He was in all points tempted like we are tempted. But I see you overcoming in the name of Jesus Christ. So the first one that we should be aware of as we consider the subject, thriving in the wilderness. God does not just want us to survive, he wants us to thrive in our wilderness. The first one is lusting after evil things. And the reference is in the book of Numbers chapter 11. I want us to turn to Numbers chapter 11, verse 4-6. Numbers 11, 4-6. And the mixed multitude, that is the half caste, half Jews, half Egyptians, that were among them fell a lasting. And the children of Israel, that is the thoroughbred, the real, as it were, pure-blooded Jews, also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. And underline freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Wow, that's very strong words to be said to any guardian or parents, anybody taking care of you. That's very bitter words. But I want you to understand that lasting after evil things is real in our Christian lives. The word lust is talking about a strong desire, a strong appetite for evil things. What happened was that the half Egyptian, half Jewish people among the people of God started it all. They had a double allegiance, because maybe the father was a Jewish slave, but the mother was an Egyptian, or vice versa. All right? So these people had a divided allegiance towards Israel, the God of Israel, and towards the gods that they have left in Egypt. So somehow they missed Egypt. Because right there in Egypt, although I believe that they were with the Jewish community, yet maybe once a while they go to visit their mother or their father who is in the Egyptian community. So they were come see, come sa. They were here and they were there. Actually, they were part of the people of God that God rescued, but they still had some unsanctified desires still with them. And Israel, the pure bread, the same mother, the same father, all being Jewish people, those people also had unsanctified desires, just like the half caste, what the Bible called a mixed multitude. So they all had unsanctified desires for the food in Egypt. Remember that is what they were raised on. So they missed it. So they fell a lasting, the Bible says, and they just reminisced the past and said, "We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the garlic, and all that. But now you have given us only this manna. But we have appetite for the fish. We have appetite for garlic also." But the Bible says that that kind of desire that they had was lasting after evil things. Why was the fish, the onions, the leeks, the garlic of Egypt called evil? Why was the food of Egypt called evil? It was because it was a diet that reinforced slavery to the world system. It was a diet that perpetuated and sustained the state of slavery, which God was working against. So it made all of those Egyptian folk evil. And desiring them was desiring evil things in the sight of God. What happened was that Egypt, the superpower at the time, fed them freely on these things. They were abundantly provided for with these things. Why do you think the Egyptians did that? They did that because that was a kind of food that if they ate, they were going to be strong to continue to slave for them. So they provided these things for them freely so that they will have the stamina and the strength, the capacity to continue to become slaves to Egypt. We have already said that Egypt stands for the world, or better still, in practical reality, it stands for the world system. The world system. And God wants to redeem us from the world system. So anything that enslaves us to the world system becomes an evil thing. Institutionalized slavery is over in the world. What is called chattel slavery is over in the world. There are legislations and NGOs who are against it. all over the world, but the spiritual mental legacy of institutionalized slavery still lingers on personal basis, on personal lifestyle, personal outlook on life, personal belief system, personal behavior still retains the legacy of slavery. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever enslaves you, whatever traps you to this world system is evil. I'll say it again. Whatever enslaves you or traps you to this world system is evil, and we should not desire it. Our desires must be sanctified. Unsanctified desires will make you resist God's will because of the suffering that goes with going through God's will. The Bible says that you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you will obtain or realize the promised land. It's important for us to understand that Peter was one such person who at one time had an unsanctified desire. Matthew chapter 16. Because when Jesus Christ told him that he was going to the cross, Peter, out of an unsanctified desire, said that, "Jesus, you will not go to the cross." He actually took Jesus and rebuked Jesus. Why? Because he was so sympathetic that Jesus Christ would be nailed on that shameful cross. And so from a very good mind, he was saying, "Jesus, you should not even think about this. It's not right for you to think this way." So he rebuked him that this shall never happen to you. Cross. It's a suffering thing. It's a shameful thing. There is an easy way out, he was trying to say. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, God's way is not easy. Sometimes if you think that to be practical is to take the easy route out of a problem, you may be mistaken, because it's not the case in all circumstances. Hallelujah. So, Peter said, "This shall not happen to you." It is possible for you to be a believer and have an unsanctified desire. In John chapter 15, the Bible makes us to know that if you want your desires to be sanctified, you should let the word of God abide in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you want. Because if a person is abiding in God, and then the word of God is abiding in him, the person's desire will be sanctified by the word of God. That is why Jesus had the audacity to say that if you have that condition, then whatever is your desire, go for it, because then it shall be granted unto you. So, it is possible for you to be a believer and not be abiding in him, and not have the word of God abiding in you. In that case, you can have an unsanctified desire. But may the Lord sanctify us wholly, truly. May he sanctify us completely, spirit, soul, and body. The desire of Christians belong to their soul part, their will part. And Paul said that may God sanctify you thoroughly. In other words, you can have your spirit sanctified and your body life not sanctified, or your soul life not sanctified. But may God sanctify you wholly in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about one of such enslaving system in the world, in the whole world at this time. It is the credit system of the world, the credit system of Egypt, the credit, the borrowing system of the world. Because it is one such thing that traps you to this world system. And God says that we should never, never desire any such thing. Proverbs 22 verse 7 or so tells us that the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. In other words, the borrower will always be a slave, will be ensnared by the lender. If the lender is this world system, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to slave for the world. Because you borrowed from the world. You borrowed from the credit system of the world. There are many people who are slaves to this world system because of borrowing from it. But let's think about it. How can you borrow from your enemy? Will you naturally go to your enemy, somebody who doesn't like you, who doesn't believe like you, who doesn't have your lifestyle, who doesn't have your purpose and your pursuits? Will you go to such a person who is your sworn enemy and go and borrow money from the person? You will not. You will say, I'd rather die than to go to this man.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.